Let us pray. Lord, may the reading and proclamation of your word draw all of us who are far off near to you. And may the hearing of your word break down the dividing walls between us. For Jesus Christ, your living word, is our peace. Amen. This morning's scripture is from Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" He said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and he divided the two fish among them all. And all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 loaves or 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, since I've been gone these past couple weeks, it seems Jesus has been busy. Jordan Ravenel, who grew up here, guided us through 2 weeks ago, guided us through when Jesus himself returned to his hometown, to where he grew up. But Jesus was met with skepticism. I trust Jordan was not. But Jesus was. More skepticism than he was in other places. So much so that but for curing just a few sick people, Jesus could do no deeds of power there. And so much so that even Jesus was amazed at their unbelief. And then, of course, after that, Jesus sent his disciples out two by two to go and continue on in his mission. And by all accounts, this mission of the disciples that were sent by Jesus, by all accounts, it was a great success. And this contrast was hinging, this contrast between Jesus' hometown and then where the disciples were sent out, was it hinged on trusting Jesus. And then Reverend Shannon Vance Ocampo guided us through Mark's little flashback. And I have to confess here, way back when I was looking ahead at our journey through Mark this summer, I maybe was a little relieved seeing that I was going to be away when this passage about John the Baptist being beheaded came up and someone else was going to have to preach on it. Certainly a difficult and troubling passage. That flashback that was prompted by Herod hearing about what all Jesus and his disciples were out there doing. And we were reminded of the fate of John the Baptist. And so thank you again to Shannon for tackling that passage and using it to make space for God to use this challenging passage to challenge us in our priorities and our commitments. But now here we are. The flashback is over. The apostles, that word apostle, the verb form of it means to send. And that noun form, calling them the apostles, that means, an apostle means one who is sent. Back in that passage that Jesus preached on, when it says Jesus began to send them out two by two, that's the word there. It says Jesus began to apostle them two by two. And now they're back. Those who have been sent are back. The apostles, the sent ones, they come back and they gather around Jesus to tell him all that they had done and taught and how great a success it was. They were a success. And they couldn't wait to tell Jesus about it. The image I get in my mind is maybe something like a kid who has gone away to camp for the first time and comes home from this place where maybe for the first time they had gone canoeing and they had climbed a rock wall and they had learned how to make a campfire and cook a meal over a fire and they'd done all these new crafts and learned these new games and songs and did this and that and all these great and wonderful experiences and successes. And when they see mom and dad, it all comes out in an avalanche of excitement. Have any of you experienced that? And as the parent, you can't keep up. You just keep going, and they keep going and going and going. That's the image I get of the apostles as they return to tell Jesus about what all they have done and experienced. And Jesus is like, that's awesome. Well, those words aren't there specifically, but you know he was proud. And then he says, let's go away somewhere so you can rest a while. As parents, learn quickly. As much energy and excitement as there is when your kid comes home from something like a week at camp and all the excitement and telling about their week and how wonderful it was, we know they're going to crash hard. Sometimes the good news that Jesus brings is this. It's been a lot. Why don't you take a break? Just rest for a bit. Jesus knows that sometimes what we need most of all is a nap. I know we're Presbyterians. Can I at least get an amen there? Sometimes Jesus knows what you need most of all is just to take a nap. Amen. And so that's what they set out to do. But they're followed. The crowd see where they're going, and they go on ahead, and they meet them there. When Jesus and his disciples, these apostles, when they get there to this deserted place Jesus was bringing them to, Jesus sees that there's a great crowd there now, and he has compassion for them. And the word there is this, I don't know if it's a beautiful word, it's a wonderful word. It's one of my favorite words in all of the Greek Bible. It's a verb form of the word for guts. Which is a great word. It is so fun to say. It's the Greek word splachna. Go ahead and say it. Splachna. Isn't that fun to say? Splachna. That word, that means it's your guts. Like literally, it's your intestines. It's your deep inward parts. Right? And the word splachna even kind of sounds like that, doesn't it? You hear the word splachna, and if you had to guess, you'd be like, yeah, it probably means something like guts. That's what it sounds like. This word here describing Jesus having compassion is the verb form of that word. Literally, it's like it's the deep, instinctive, emotional response that you have when you see something that is gut-wrenching. Compassion. When Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan and he says, the Samaritan sees the man lying in the ditch and has compassion on him, this is the word. When Jesus tells the parable of the prodigal son and says that when the prodigal son's father saw his long-lost son off in the distance and he feels compassion for his son and runs out to embrace him, this is that word. So Jesus sees the crowds and his compassion for them comes from down deep in his gut because, it says, he sees that they were like sheep without a shepherd. And reading this here, Mark is no dummy. The gospel writer Mark, coming right after that bit about King Herod and the flashback about the fate of John the Baptist that Shannon helped us wrestle with, And so poignantly here now, contrasting King Herod's disturbing birthday banquet with this very different banquet that's about to happen here in this deserted place in today's passage, that bit about that particular leader, King Herod, we see a glimpse of what type of person and leader he is. And now immediately after this, Mark is sure to remind us that Jesus is gut-wrenched because these people are like sheep without a shepherd. Their leader doesn't fit. And so Jesus begins to teach them many things, which sets up this well-known miracle. This miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Fun fact, this is the only miracle of Jesus that is recorded in all four of the Gospels. The only one that all four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four Gospel writers said, I am making sure to include that. So Jesus is teaching, and it's going on and on. And it's getting later and later. And now it's really late. And the disciples are like, Jesus, it's late. And we're kind of out here in the middle of nowhere, right? It's a deserted place, a desert place, remember? Jesus, people need to eat. There's nothing around here, so I'll tell you what, let's call it a day so people can go into town and find some food. And Jesus says, tell you what, you give them something to eat. They come to Jesus. Jesus, it's late, people are hungry, and Jesus says, well, you feed them. Do you remember what the apostles were all excited about when all this started? What had they just done? They had just gone out, sent by Jesus to cast out unclean spirits, to proclaim the repentance of the kingdom, to cure and to heal. In short, they were sent by Jesus to go do that which Jesus has come to do. And now, Jesus, people are hungry. So you feed them, Jesus says. Feed them. They were hungry because they needed something to eat. Maybe people are hungry because we who count ourselves as disciples of Jesus, as those sent by Jesus, allow it to happen. Maybe people are hungering because we have not always welcomed, listened, believed, respected, shared, invited, sheltered, spoken out on behalf of, or loved the way we know we ought to. Jesus, people are hungry. And Jesus says, the Jesus who is filled with gut-wrenching compassion for these people, says, so feed them. The disciples had just been at Jesus' camp, right? They went and they had these amazing, super spiritual successes. They healed. They cast out unclean spirits. They preached repentance, and it happened. This great, exotic, missionary camp mountaintop experience. Right? I mean, that is the type of powerful testimony that makes it to the front of ministry fundraising newsletters, doesn't it? We healed, we cast out demons. Repentance happened all over the place. But now Jesus is like, yeah, awesome. But sometimes Jesus-shaped ministry is much more like just giving someone who's hungry some food or a nap. Remember back in Mark 1, when Jesus shows up on the scene, what does it say? Jesus came proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom that has come near. And what is it? You remember that Jesus says, we are to pray. Part of what we are to pray is what? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done where? On earth. Just as it is in heaven. Jesus proclaims the good news of God's kingdom. And if you're hungry, good news is a meal. If you are exhausted and worn out and worn down, good news is a nap. The gospel is not just good news in an abstract or like super spiritual, otherworldly sort of way. Yes, God is spirit, but the Word became flesh. Ours is an incarnational faith. The good news we receive and are to proclaim is good news for all that we are, spirit and flesh. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, is good news, not just for the future, not just for the world to come, but also for this world and for all that are in it. And if you are hungry, food is good news. If you are worn out and worn down, a nap is good news. So Jesus says, they're hungry? So feed them. You're my disciples, my apostles. I have sent you. We just did this. You give them something to eat. And the disciples say, what? We can't afford that. That would cost like 7 months' salary. It says 200 denarii. A denarius was about one day's average wage. We don't have that kind of money laying around. And here is where it gets really good. The disciples, the apostles, they say, we don't have enough money to go out and buy all the bread we would need to feed these people. And Jesus says, well, how many loaves of bread do you have? They say, we can't because we don't have this. And Jesus says, well, what do you have? What do you have? Why don't you go and see? So they do. 200 days' wages lying around? No. A kingly banquet? No. And thank goodness, right, considering how that last kingly banquet turned out. But what they do find is that there are 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So Jesus has them all get into groups of hundreds and fifties, nice and decently in order. I'd just like to point that out. They're organized into groups, and Jesus has them sit down on, it says on the green grass. You might get some echoes of a good shepherd there. Green grass. They'd gone away there into this desert, this deserted wilderness place. There is green grass now to sit on. Perhaps even we might think of green pastures to lay down in. And Jesus takes what they had, and he blesses it, and he breaks it open, and he gives it. And all ate and were filled. And there were 12 baskets full left over besides. How often do we see a need, an opportunity to proclaim and bring good news, to show that God's kingdom is near, to participate even in God's kingdom coming near, and then go, but we don't have quite enough? Perhaps what Jesus says to that is, well, okay, but why don't you just go and see what you do have, and let's see what we can do with it. Sometimes the miracle is that when we do that, we find that we already have resources that we didn't even know we already had. That there is already provision if we would but look with the eyes of faith and trust. Other times, well, it occurred to me this week that the last sermon I preached 3 weeks ago now was a sermon I titled, What We Bring. We were looking at the end of the last chapter, chapter 5 in Mark, sometimes what it is when we look and to see what we have to bring, what it is we have to bring is our own struggles, our own history, our own scars, and maybe even our own fears and doubts. All of that is also included when Jesus says, well, what do you have? Bring it here, and let's see what we can do with it. Sometimes we get caught up in, we got a little bit, but it looks like we don't have near enough. Other times it's that we look and we think, well, this is the wrong sort of stuff altogether. And yet Jesus still says, go see what you've got, whatever it is, and just bring it here. Bring it to me. Some Bible scholars look at this passage and say, you know, actually there's really two miracles going on here. And the first is simply the fact that someone or a group of someone's shared what little they had, a fish here, a loaf of bread there, even when it sure looked like it couldn't make one bit of difference, not really. But they did it. And Jesus takes that. Jesus takes it. And the language here is very sacramental language, isn't it? He blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it. We have in our sanctuary a table that reminds us of this every time we gather for worship. Whether we are celebrating the Lord's Supper on a particular Sunday or not, the table is here before us. The table where bread is blessed and broken and given, reminding us, drawing us in, inviting us to the true bread of heaven, Jesus, the Blessed One, who for our sake and for the sake of the world, the Blessed One was broken and given. But it should not escape our notice that we don't just put grains and grapes here on this table. We put bread and juice or wine. From the gifts that God has given, the grains and the fruit of the earth, we are invited to take what has been given and add our own, for lack of a better word, our own work. We have participated. Grain becomes bread. Grapes become juice or wine. And then we take what we have, the bread or and the wine or juice, and we then offer it back to Jesus, and it is blessed and broken and given. And the good news, the gospel promises of Jesus, in that they are proclaimed as we who are hungry and hungering find that we are fed and nourished. We find that the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want. He even makes us lie down in green pastures, leading us beside still waters. Even in the desert places, he restores our soul. Perhaps there is a sense in which what it is to be a disciple of Jesus, to be sent, to be those who are sent by Jesus, sent to our communities and to the world, and even, yes, to one another, to each other, is to be called into a particular way of seeing the world and understanding that in the kingdom of God, all is sacramental. It is all opportunity to see both what is needed, what is good news proclaimed in that moment, and to see what we have been given and so say, well, what do we have? And how might Jesus take it and bless it and break it wide open so that it may be given? This passage began with the excitement of the disciples, the apostles now, coming back from being sent out to do the work of Jesus. And here again, they were invited to continue to be a part of that very same work, simply by seeing what they have, what they and those around them have been given, and offering it back to Jesus. Jesus, people are hungry. People are hungering. So feed them, Jesus says. But what if we don't have enough? Or what if we don't have the right things? Just go see what you do have. Go see what you have been given. And when we do that, when we offer that, we may yet find there is more than enough. And that even in the wilderness, desert places, there is green grass. Blessed, broken, and given. May we give out of what we have received. And may we receive in our giving, so that it may truly be said, the kingdom is come near indeed. Beloved of God, may it be so. Amen.